Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing. Thank the gods that this weekly appointment occurs, friends, because A, without it, we would have no reason to keep looking around this crazy world of ours and trying to identify things that might be a trend for no reason except that then we get to join you and each other and just have a nice respite every week.
Yeah. A lot of people think Molly was not on the show last week because she was taking a vacation. But I like to think she was just hunting further afield for more things.
True. It's absolutely true. It was as I was on assignment.
Yeah. Molly Wood was on assignment. The assignment was relax and drink a beer.
Find a thing. Find
and
a
look
thing.
Look for a thing while you do that. Yes, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
I did. Yes.
I did have this moment. I went to Lake Tahoe with my little pod, which includes my family. And we'd when you're on vacation, we did stuff every day. Like we went to the beach and we did a little like rafting trip and masks were involved at all times. It was like a whole wonderful, it was wonderful, slightly terrifying and awesome. But there was one day where my sister-in-law and I were just painting our nails, drinking sangria and listening to show tunes on the deck of this like Airbnb that we rented. And I was like, this is the first day that I feel like we're truly on vacation. Like there's nothing
like,
but time.
I finally win.
And I'm just painting my dang fingernails.
That's awesome. I'm kind of jealous now, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't want to paint my fingernails, but I want to feel that feeling.
You do.
Maybe I do.
Because of course there was too much food and I made a fruit salad with this fresh mint from my garden and it was so good. And I was like, what are we going to do with this fruit? It won't keep. And I was like, well, duh, make it sangria.
Dang. When life gives you fruit that won't keep, make sangria, as
make
the
sangria.
Buttons always say.
Exactly. And boom, you're on vacation.
I want to credit our producer Rich Straffolino with alerting me to the existence of this thing. It is now taking over for Fortnite. We have a new champion.
Oh, we do.
Over half of U.S. kids are now playing Roblox, and it started allowing players to host virtual parties. Just like Fortnite does.
And they love it so much better. I can confirm that my 7-year-old niece has been up on Roblox for at least the last year. I think it was literally like the last Christmas and the last birthday. What does she want for her birthday? Robux. That's it. Only this one thing.
Yep.
She went for Halloween as her Roblox character.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, it is huge. I didn't know it was up to half of American children. That seems quarantine-esque, but
more
wowzer.
Than half of U.S. kids and teens under the age of 16.
Dang.
Yeah.
I just thought it was for the little ones. I had no idea. Dang.
Sticks with them while they grew up with it at this point.
Oh, and it's the new Chuck E. Cheese now that Chuck E. Cheese is in bankruptcy. They're adding its own, Roblox is adding its own private space for them to host virtual private birthday parties.
Exactly. Which Fortnite has done, and people have done that. Also,
I didn't even
Minecraft.
Know that. Yeah.
For your, 20 year olds. But yeah.
Dude.
Can you identify? I'm going to trot out a statement. Let's see how well it fits our experience. If they're talking about Warcraft, they're old. If they're talking about Minecraft, they have a job. If they're talking about Fortnite, they're above 16. And if they're talking about Roblox, they're a kid.
Actually, I'm going to say if they're talking about Fortnite, they're not cool anymore. And if
that's
they're talking about
being like, above 16.
Touche.
Sorry,
touché.
Kids.
Touche. Well played, friend. Well played. Although my son did literally get so bored with everything that he started playing Fortnite again the other day. And so I'm going to say there may be a little bit of proto thing happening. Like Fortnite might be coming back around.
With that age group, right? With the
Minecraft,
age group that grew
with
up
that
with
age
it,
group,
it's like,
right.
But I feel comfortable with Fortnite.
13 and up. Yep, exactly. And so that same age is really into Minecraft still. And they're into like Skyblocks, which is like the Minecraft shoot 'em up kind of. I don't know. Yeah. It's like more of a battle game.
Like a side jag.
Mm-hmm. But I would say, anyway, all that is to say, absent a few minor quibbles, which I could not help, and I apologize. Yeah.
No, no.
Basically,
that's why you trot it out there to, you know, this is the peer review process in action.
Exactly. But I'm going to say basically accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm getting on.
And League of Legends probably fits in there somewhere too. But yeah, Roblox. If you want to impress your 7-year-olds to 16-year-olds, Roblox.
Wow. Wow. Those numbers are legit.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to go like, oh, kids are playing Roblox. It's pretty popular. And it's another thing to like, more than half. If you are a kid, either you or the kid next to you plays Roblox.
Yeah. In April, Roblox told Bloomberg that 2/3 of all U.S. kids between 9 and 12 use Roblox.
That's a sweet spot right there, 9 to 12.
You're
playing or you're protesting, right? The other third is like, I don't want to be a joiner.
Exactly. Or they're making radical TikToks.
Probably.
Can't wait to start planning my niece's birthday party in Roblox.
Because
that's amazing. That's
Christmas
genius.
In Roblox.
I mean, it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
And that is actually the perfect segue to my first thing, which is sad, but true. My friends all made fun of me for like lots of reasons, but for being such a weird little prepper.
Uh-huh.
And a couple months ago, I started packing my go bag. And I was like, everybody's got to have a go bag. Like, I should have had one already.
We live in
earthquake country. Like, it's
earthquake country.
Yeah. You got to have everybody. And so I have one actually in the car that's just like a earthquake kit.
Those of you in hurricane and tornado country also
may also have go bags, and fire seasons are getting more and more intense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it seems like lately go bags have become a thing. I have actually heard a lot more people talking about them, and they sell, you know, the ready-made ones on Amazon. And now, and this is how I know that it's crossed over into thing, which is that basically as of this month, there's a startup for go bags.
Of course there is.
Yep.
Now, I am all for people getting prepared for earthquake, tornado, hurricane, fire, whatever it is.
Yep.
That's good. You need to have your 72 hours. You need to have your go bag, all that stuff. But why now? It feels like people are doing the right thing for the wrong reasons.
I don't know. Well, okay, to be fair, this company, Judy, launched last year. So they have been around for about a year.
Okay. All right.
Which
all
is right. kind of right so in line.
So probably fire season got that started
season.
Going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And generally kind of like, I don't know, effects of extreme climate change. Like, it's, it's coming. But only this week is the day this week is not a day. Only this week is when I actually saw ads for this company, Judy, on Instagram.
Judy.
And I was like, yep, good timing, because we're headed into fire season.
Yeah.
There is a sense that society might be coming apart just a tiny bit, as it seems.
I probably said it too judgy when I said the wrong reason, but like people finally getting around to it, either because they have time or because they're more nervous about the world than ever before.
Yeah.
And they're starting to think about things more seriously. It's all good. It's all a good thing to do this.
Oh yeah. Like, I would say it's not the right reasons.
No, it's absolutely
actually
the right thing. And yeah, maybe it's just more reasons, not wrong reasons.
There is legitimate civil unrest happening an increasing degree. And then yes, like extreme weather, there's kind of all these things. Like, hopefully your go bag will be unused and
we should explain to those uninitiated what a go bag is.
We actually probably should. Yes. So the idea of a go bag is just, you know, a backpack, some kind of bag. For some people, it's just a firebox, like a fireproof box where they keep all their documents and important things. And it should be easily accessible. And it's the kind of thing, a friend described it to me actually as like, it's a thing that you would be able to take if you thought you were going to have to like survive in the woods for 3 days or just walk onto an airplane. It should have everything you need. So it should have some changes of clothes, some basic first aid, maybe like a pen, a pocket knife, and or you can include like 3 days worth of food and water. You can sort of go
snacks.
As extreme or not extreme as you want. Maybe some gloves, maybe an N95 mask, some basic snacks, some dog food, you know.
The idea is that it's something you can grab and go.
Grab and go.
In an emergency. The name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it would have all the things you need for around 72 hours.
Yep. So I have a go bag for me and my son in the closet. And then right sort of in between them is the little plastic box that has all the important documents.
Okay,
passports and like birth certificate and things like that.
You know, I should do the document thing. I have not. Because I think I've always thought of the go bag as sort of like my chance at anonymity, like subconsciously. I don't think that was like intentionally, but I'm like, why would I need documents? I'm going to be on the run. It's a go bag.
Yeah, you're like, I don't need that.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that's kind of dumb.
If it's like a fire, you know, you do actually want to have.
Right. And when we had fire scares last year and I was putting together extra suitcases and stuff beyond the go bag, I went and I got all my documents. So I'm like, why would that not also be in the go bag? So that's good stuff.
Totally.
But should we, could we, dare we get a little snooty about buying a pre-made kit? I mean,
I did not.
Those of us who've created our own go bags.
I ordered my own like rope and gloves.
Yep. Mine's got a big old tarp and water purification and ropes and all that stuff.
I have a life straw and I have an emergency blanket. Mine is much, it's a little, it's kind of like, I don't know. Mine's definitely a mix of sort of urban go bag and survival go bag. Some people go really survivalist I didn't go quite that far, but it does have like the water purification straw and things like that in it. So it's like, it's a midway.
Don't have the 72 hours of food in the go bag itself.
I don't either.
I kind of separated it so that the go bag is easier to grab in the extreme emergency and has all the things I'd have to have. And then the 72 hours of food is right next to it in case there's also time to grab it.
My 72 hours of food are in the car, in the earthquake backpack that's in the car. And then I have
although it gets hot in the car.
Snacks.
Yeah. I definitely have snacks in my go bag for sure, like power bar type stuff.
And then my son's go bag has the dog food in it. God, we are preppers.
And then you have to, yes, we totally are. You have to check it every year on daylight saving time, whether it's ending or beginning. I check my go bag and pull out any expired medicines from the first aid kit and replace them, swap out the snacks, all that stuff.
I know. See, I need to get that. Yeah, I have some friends who, I have one friend who does it every year on Labor Day, which is super smart.
Whatever works. Like just having it.
I do have the change of clothes in mine. And so I'm going to have to, now I have to make sure that we check it every year at minimum just for my son's change of clothes because.
Oh, right. Because he's getting bigger.
He just keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got all the dog food in his. It was a whole.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole.
Mine is an old CES bag.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was the one year at CES, they gave those orange ripstop bags that were like actually durable.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's what I use.
One. Wow. I totally I bought myself like a fancy one.
That's
and I
wrong
love
with
it. Like there's a part of me that's like, God, I wish I have to use my go bag. It's really nice.
When do I get to evacuate?
I'm going to have to take it backpacking.
Yeah, you should. Actually, when I did training for search and rescue, they emphasized for that you should take all of your equipment out and test it, at least once a year. So you don't forget how to use it, so you can make sure it's all still in good shape and all that. So it's not a bad idea to take your go bag packing just so you can make sure everything's still working and good.
Okay, I'm totally going to.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I love my backpack. I love my go bag backpack.
Here's something that now that we have scared the living daylights about out of you, talking about having to evacuate from fires and hurricanes, you might need a bedtime story.
Yeah, for real.
Sleepcasts, if they're podcasts, sleep stories, if bedtime story sounds too infantile, but Harry Styles is doing them. Stephen Fry is doing them. Of course, Morgan Freeman is doing them. They are huge right now. It's just people with pleasant voices talking calmly in a way that helps you drift off to sleep. If your anxiety is keeping you up, sometimes not even telling stories. Some of these are just descriptions of peaceful locations, like, you know, mountain streams and stuff, so that you don't get caught up in the story and want to stay awake. It's just something calm that you hear.
I love this. Because I know a lot of people who use the sleep timer and, you know, just go to sleep to something or other. The idea that there's an actual peaceful thing, intentionally boring podcast, that is wonderful.
Yeah. Well, because if, and some of the people who've worked on this, I was hearing The Economist do a story on this, have said they had to change their approach when they created these because you usually want conflict in an engaging story. And in these, you don't, because that's going to jar people. You right. don't want to scare them. You don't want to make them tense like you would in a normal gripping story. You want to just keep them just interested enough that they're not staying awake because they're bored, but not too interesting so that they drift away. And a lot of it is like almost ASMR. It has to do with the person reading it.
I love this. I'm looking at this now and seeing that there's Game of Drones, which is sort of like part bedtime story and part high school class that you can't stay awake for. I love this. Boring books then, for bedtime. Aww. Yeah.
There's even ones that don't even have people, like deep energy that just is ambient. That's like white noise, basically.
Right.
And a little bit of music.
Dark ambient podcasts. I love it. Or because honestly, noise. People finding a way to go to sleep, to turn off the brain and go to sleep. Yeah.
It's harder. It's harder right now.
It is. It really is. I used to sleep with just a fan, and now I have a fan and a window air conditioner that I run just for the loud sound.
Just for the noise, yeah. You could be listening to Morgan Freeman describe a mountain stream instead.
I'm into this. I am really into this. I'm going to try. I'm getting kind of sleepy right now. Just
apparently the Harry Styles one is the one that really elevated it into the mainstream. Like, everybody talks about that one.
Fascinating. What a good find. I love it. I love this show. So great.
If it helps you sleep better,
how have we not helped you? We will also help you with your safety. So I will confess now that I have a personal interest in this because I am obsessed with the buff, the item, the sort of like clothing and utility item called the buff, which you may have, or otherwise known as a neck gaiter. You may
sometimes
be
incorrectly referred to as a balaclava.
Right, totally. Although you can easily turn your buff into a balaclava because it is the world's most versatile piece of fabric. So you might be familiar with it from Survivor because they would issue the contestants these buffs every year. And they're like, people wear them as dresses and skirts and or dresses and like tube tops and use them for. They're amazing. I'm super into them for backpacking.
I was going to make a joke about using it as a tube top. People really did that. Duh, of course.
Oh, yeah, totally. I have one that I, so anyway, it's great. You can use it as like a pillowcase. You wrap it around your sleeping bag that you have your clothes in when you're backpacking. It's like
definitely
a headband,
need one in your go bag,
a neck band, and it is a great face mask in some ways, right? Cause it's super. So I've been making these little, like, do you remember Chums? The like, cool little pieces of fabric, and you would insert the ends of your sunglasses into them, and it would turn in sunglasses into a necklace.
Right.
So I've been like crocheting little pieces of yarn into sort of like makeshift chums for my masks. And then I just tie them around the masks and wear my
necklace. They don't fall off. Yeah.
They don't fall off, but you're not necessarily wearing it, and it's in the car and whatever. But then I realized when I was in Tahoe, actually, that the buff is the best for that because you're just wearing it around your neck and you just yoink it up over your nose. Super easy. And then I started thinking like, man, this is actually kind of the perfect mask design. Like, it needs a little help. It needs some ear loops maybe and like a pocket for filters. And so then I started duck-ducking.
Uh-huh.
And like the day that I looked, 3 days earlier, this woman on YouTube had posted a tutorial like how to make your own buff with an ear loop. So that when you pull it up, it doesn't fall down.
Buffs until today, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I always heard them called gaiters or balaclavas when they're not really.
Yeah, I only knew they were called buffs because of Survivor. That's the first time I heard that phrase. Right. But they are a really thin material. So I have decided, so I actually ordered a bunch of like cotton spandex stretchy mix, and I'm going to figure out how to make them with a pocket so you can put a filter in or at least double up the fabric that they're a little bit thicker. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, I just started seeing them everywhere. And I think it was even actually, to be fair, before I searched it, I started seeing like kids wearing them, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is it. Because I think we're all trying to figure out like, what is the mask that is convenient, hard to lose, that is sort of put on and put offable Because they're, you know, you don't need it every single minute when you're outside, but then when you get close to someone, you need to like easily be able to get to it and put it on. And I'm coming around to the idea that these ones are perfect.
I have been using a gaiter when I run for months now.
Yeah.
It was one of the first masks I got.
Huh.
Because I wanted something easy when I ran, because when I'm running, if there's no one around, I'm pulling that thing off.
Yeah, totally.
But then same. I could easily like pull it right back up. And it's probably, like you say, too thin to wear indoors and feel like you're not infecting people.
Right.
But outside, I felt like, well, even though it's thin, it's doing something, right?
Absolutely.
And if we're keeping our 2 meters distance anyway, then, you know, this is probably good. And I'm still, you know, compliant with LA County law about wearing a face covering. Then I noticed when, by the way, baseball's back. How about that?
I know.
Watching baseball, tons of the coaches, because if you're not actually on the field, you have to wear a mask. Tons of the coaches wearing the balaclavas. There I go. The gaiters, the buffs.
Interesting.
Down in the dugout.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to start. The Discord is all over this. Kent 13, actually, and I did see this, that Buff USA, which actually makes buffs, the neck gaiters, started making masks. And the DLR says neck gaiters are not allowed at Florida theme parks, probably because they are a little too thin, but I think it's like only a matter of time. I can tell you, this is my weekend project. I ordered the fabric. I'm going to sew in a pocket. I'm going to double up the fabric. Like, I think that there is a way to, cause it's so handy.
Yeah.
We need a little innovation in the mask design, just a little bit. It's going to be perfect. I'm stoked.
I have six masks that are really fancy from Headley and Bennett, the people who make chef's clothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're really good too. They like aren't don't fog fun. Up. They're like so well done. Multiple colors, beige, chambray. And then I have my gaiter for running.
Yeah. Sure. Marie says like a small infinity scarf, which is exactly it.
Yeah.
All the masks I have, this is totally dorky, but it's just...
Well, that's the other thing about the buff is it's just so easy to put on. You don't have to be like, okay, I got to put this around my nose and then this. Like, you just pull that thing on and you're covered.
Yep. You just yoink it on and then you just pull it on up. And then the loops seems to be the key, because then it won't fall off.
Yeah. Mine doesn't seem to fall off. Maybe I'm just being a buff purist.
Maybe.
I haven't thought about needing the loops, but not against them.
Yeah. Well, watch my little YouTube link that I put in the rundown. Yeah, that will be on our... I'm pretty stoked about this. I'll let you know how it turns out. But I think like if we can just slightly improve on the thickness of the material, make a filter pocket, and then maybe make... The loop is optional too. Like you can use it if you need it, but you can still wear it as a regular old buff without it. I'm feeling it. It's a thing.
Then yeah. And then we can all go outside in the buff.
I'm like sad. I didn't think of that. So it's so good and unexpected, which makes it even better.
Speaking of good and unexpected, all of you folks keep sending us things. It's the best thing ever. Keep them coming. Feedback at itsthing.me. Matt wrote in on some Dungeons & Dragons alternatives, Molly.
Oh, really?
What? Matthew T. here again. I've been enjoying the repeated mentions of Dungeons & Dragons in your program, but wanted to call your attention to something that's been a growing trend in role-playing games for a while now. GM-less games. That is, role-playing games without one designated game master. Game master usually is the one controlling the story. In GM-less games, the players work together to create the world, characters, and story. This sounds like a recipe for chaos, but many of these games have been carefully and cleverly designed to balance out the individual's agency in the game with the group's consensus, so that anyone can steer things in unexpected directions, but at the same time, no one person can derail everything. So there are rules y'all have to follow, but if everybody's following the rules, you don't need a GM. There are a bunch of such games out there, but I'm going to shamelessly plug one by an old friend of mine who's been designing, testing, playing, and selling these sorts of games for years called Microscope, where your group creates the history of an imaginary world, and the end of the story is predetermined at the start of the game, but the fun is in figuring out the details of how you get there.
Fascinating. You know, I have some friends who do a version of this. I think they basically collaborate and invent a game, a board game, and fill out all the characters and come up with a story. And I think don't have like a game dictator type thing. Fascinating. I think
Matt's got more. It'll be in the show notes if you want links and all that to thelamemage.com and even a couple other recommendations. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm trying to scroll down in the Google Doc. Let's see. From Fordo.
Oh, what a surprise. Hey.
Subject. I know this isn't BOL, but... And then she says, and I'm assuming from the context that this is in relation to the photo of Mark Zuckerberg surfing in mime face, a.k.a. a bunch of sunscreen. And she says, what in the name of Kabuki or the Joker doing Kabuki is Zuckerberg doing here? What the actual kind of a look is he going for? Like some weirdo Salvador Dali thing? This is something David Rose Schitt's Creek would have had as an installation in his Manhattan Art Gallery, titled 16th Century Smallpox-Fearing Oligarch on an Electric Surfboard, maybe. I can't unsee this. Who can, right? And then she says, unrelated but more relevant, using right at the end of a sentence is totally a linguistic thing these last few years. Molly has been doing it for more than a decade, so I think she was an early adopter or leader on this one. I think it's actually moved beyond the thing status and is permanently embedded in American English now, the way that, isn't it, in the at the end of sentences is firmly entrenched in British English.
I know, right?
I'm kind of embarrassed to discover that, in fact, I have been doing this for more than a decade because sort of simultaneously, yes, it's a linguistic thing, but also it's like a linguistic thing that I usually use to identify a person that I'm going to kind of make fun of or that's little condescending. And now I'm like, oh, no.
I have become what I have mocked.
I have become destroyer of worlds and English.
I don't understand the Zuckerberg thing either. He wasn't in Hawaii, was he?
I think he was. That's what the internet said.
He visited Hawaii? Or he owns something there and he went there.
I'm sure he took his own plane to a place that he owns. Yes.
He owns. Okay.
I think that is.
And then there was a picture of him that made it look like he had a ridiculous amount of sunscreen, which I'm going to guess probably meant he had a lot of sunscreen on, but it was an angle that just.
I mean, I think he did. I'm going to say that I didn't dig that closely into it because I was more worried about the extra legal paramilitary forces invading the cities that have been designated to be run by the political enemies of the president. But yes, he had a lot of sunscreen on.
I think I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me like, that's a typical thing you do when diving, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm waiting for it not to be that funny.
I mean, it looked funny.
Yeah.
Like he had a big bubble butt and the sunscreen was very makeup-y. Like it was very sort of specific to his face only and whatever.
I was just having fun.
I was definitely like, yeah, I'm a little more worried about the undermining of democracy.
I
mean,
I don't use Facebook, but I'm not going to make fun of somebody just because they look weird.
Literally, he's the palest person ever. Really,
yeah. If I didn't live in LA, I'd be close.
He looked funny.
Yeah, it looked a little funny. I'm not gonna lie. It was a weird picture.
It's haunting. It's haunting. Yeah. It's definitely like if you're a person who's afraid of clowns, like
do not look.
It's an upsetting photo. I'm not gonna lie. Don't look if you're afraid of clowns because it did have that vibe to it. Like just like uncanny valley. If you were to have discovered the fact that he was an android and he had actually peeled off the outer layer and that was what was underneath the sort of like collagen injection.
Right. Yeah.
Damn it. Now I'm into it.
No. Let's go from frosting on Mark Zuckerberg's face to frosting on something we'd rather have around. Art from Patreon on cake says, hey, guys, I was just watching the latest John Oliver and he makes a gag about a coronavirus graphic actually turning out to be cake and my beer almost spewed out my nose. What do you know? You guys called it everything cake.
Dude, I'm so relieved that I put the cake in last week because the cake thing has gone ape-doodle.
It's still there.
All
right. No, people are still talking about it. It's crazy.
It has gone crazy since then.
Right on top of that. That was well done.
Man. Yeah. If it's on also John Oliver. Also, like the cake thing, it's impressive. Just go to TikTok and look for like, it's cake. There was one that was yarn.
If you
and there was even like
Xi
a piece
Jinping
of yarn.
To know that you're looking at cake, do that. Sure.
Well, yeah. Okay. Touche. and then Stuart wrote in and said he thinks that sweet and savory combos are a thing. Which, yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm, we've gotten a lot of Twitter buzz about the sweet and savory stuff. That's been fun to read.
And also, it's my favorite, so I'm with you. Fave combo.
Let's get some shout-outs based on quotes from the famed symbolic anthropologist Clifford Geertz, inspired by a commenting routing wonk left in Discord.
Obviously.
Right.
All right, here we go. Symbolic anthropology. Just keep that in mind. What sort of scientists are they whose main technique is sociability and whose main instrument is themselves? What can we expect from them but Mike Akins?
What indeed? What we call Andrew Wyatt is really our own constructions of other people's constructions of what they and their compatriots are up to.
The language of everyday moralism is shot through on the female side of it with Esther Pena imagery.
Ah, yes. But Louis St. Amour is an animal suspended in webs of significance he himself has spun.
Right. Brad Sparks. Brad Sparks is intrinsically incomplete. Mm. And worse than that, the more deeply it goes, the less complete it is.
One of the most significant facts about humanity may finally be that we all begin with the natural equipment to live a thousand kinds of life, but end in the end having lived only Gabriel Cohen.
You know, it may be in the cultural particularities of Jake Woods, in his oddities, that some of the most instructive revelations of what it is to be generically human are to be found.
Yeah, if you want to understand what science is, what a science is, you should look in the first instance not at its theories or its findings, and certainly not at what its apologists say about it. You should look at Eric Duncan.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I think we all should.
Mm-hmm. Piercing. What a piercing insight.
Yes, thank you, Producer Rich.
Piercing set of insights.
A.K.A. Mr. Anthropology Online.
For, as usual, making the shout-out section, I think arguably, and I'm going to say we do good work here, but this is still the best part of the show.
Yeah, 100% support that. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon at the shout-out level. I hope you feel that it is worth it. We did get a nice note from Esther Pena, actually, saying that she listens with her kids.
Oh, yeah. That was nice. Thank you, Esther.
Which was absolutely delightful. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can become a member of the show, should you so desire. And believe me, in these troubled times, we will more than understand if you cannot. We are so grateful for those of you who continue to support us. It's amazing.
So much. Yeah,
it's amazing.
And and whether you can or can't, you can still be part of the show. Just keep emailing us your things, feedback@itsathing.me.
exactly. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye,
bye guys.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.